Welcome everyone to the first podcast of my new podcast. It is going to be called The Future. I might change the name at some point, I'm not sure.
Who are you? Tell the folks.
Come down here. The conceit of this show is, this podcast, I'll have a different guest on every week, and I want to hear from them their most educated guesses. What's going to happen in the future? My name is Zach. You can email at us at... I'm not sure, actually. I haven't figured it out yet. Probably something like thefuturepodcast@gmail.com. I'll probably go work on that soon. There's no need to email, though, because it doesn't matter. Tonight I have Ian Strope, the leader of the Feudal Podcast.
Feudal Podcast, blowing up. Feudal Podcast Army, yo, yo, yo. Check us out, www.graniteseed.com/futilepodcast. Email us, drop us an email, futilepodcast@gmail.com.
He's really going hardcore in this thing.
And vote for us.
Vote for us, just nominated.
Podcastawards.com. We're in the general category, Futile Podcast. Two words. Check it.
Ian, tell us a little bit about yourself. Explain, first of all, you're very qualified for this podcast because you were a pre-med at one point. Explain that.
Okay. Well, I was a rural boy. I grew up in Fieldbrook, California, which is sort of a non-existent, non-city community, if you will, about 15 minutes away from a hospital and 15 minutes away from any sort of more general community, I guess. Went to school at a K through 8, no middle school, and then went to high school and decided at some point in high school that I liked science and I liked specifically biology, study of living organisms, and decided that would be the way I would cue myself in terms of problem solving. I think most people in their lives, maybe it's just me, but most people seem to sort of develop in their high school years certain things that they avoid or certain things that they
get into. This is really boring.
Yeah, this is you really asked for the boring story of my life.
Okay, tell me.
I got into pre-med because I like the idea of solving problems that involve people being unhealthy.
Why didn't you become a detective?
Well, solving problems like, you know, people have been hurt or something. I should have. I like that side of it, too. I like the detective's aspect of it, I suppose. In the end, I didn't become either. What being a pre-med basically means is that you are majoring in biological science studies geared towards, specifically towards application to medical school. So what that means to me is that I took your basic run of chemistry and biology as a freshman at college, along with general calculus classes, a few statistic classes and things of that sort, English, other prerequisites.
So you have a wide range of knowledge, is what you're saying.
Not necessarily.
You're saying you are going to be accurately able to predict what's going to happen in the future, is what you're saying.
Cleo.
Okay. No clairvoyance here. Okay. Nothing satanic in nature or voodoo or anything based off general. No, this is going to be what you believe to be. So here's my first question to you, Ian. What happens in the future?
Well, are you talking about 10 minutes from now when Blaine comes back?
Just answer the question. What happens in the future?
About?
You pick something.
Pick a scope. Tell me a year.
I say, what happens in the future?
And I tell
and
you.
And you pick a specific thing and you run with it. Go. What happens in the future, Ian? Ian Strope.
I say what happens in the future of professional football is, and this may be more of a wish than a belief, is that the era of it just being about guys pick up a ball and try to move forward on a bland, pedestrian, uninteresting field starts to change, and eventually they decide to modify the field as players become more, as sports science gets better, and the game becomes less and less interesting because the impacts and the brutality of it kind of becomes less. There's less to it. So eventually, some commissioner will come around that will decide to just create like a paradigm shift in the way that the game is played. There will be new, like a zone, like a red, I don't know, let's say...
A red zone?
A 5-foot-long zone that's painted a different color that goes from one end zone to the other.
Right.
That's called, like, the lane of triples. And what happens with the lane of triples is that if you, as a player, can maintain, your run within that zone and you have the football, if you make it to the other team's end zone in that, then your score is tripled. Scores will also be based on how many...
Your score is triple.
How many...
So if you throw a 6-point touchdown...
Yes.
...from that zone, you get 24 points. Yeah. Is the resulting point after attempt also tripled?
No, because that's not within the zone. See, the whole point is that you can't veer from out the zone, so it makes defense much easier, so that it makes the guy that does it has to be much tougher. That's one thing.
Okay.
Another thing, why does the field have to be perfectly flat? Elevation changes. I'm talking about sand traps. I'm talking about little hills that rises and lowers that may not still have to be sloping and perfect. They could be jagged, too.
Can I add something?
A rock pit.
I like where you're going with this. I think the thing that's been missing from professional football is a sense of Darwinism.
Mm-hmm. Survival of the fittest.
So if you litter the field with landmines, you're going to kill off the stupidest players.
Well,
am I correct?
If the mines are obvious, I mean, if it's a random chance...
Oh, they're
going
to be totally
no,
obvious.
But no
but,
selectivity.
But say someone is dumb enough to lose a head-on melee with another player and get tossed into the landmine.
Sure.
He wasn't meant to survive.
He wasn't strong
you
enough for that
game. You kill off the player.
Yeah.
And then you have to bring in new guys. And eventually you just you have the ultimate cream of the crop. These guys are the ultimate gladiators.
Mm-hmm.
In essence. What do you think about this for your future? Does that fit? Or is that too running, man?
That's... you're getting
These aren't criminals.
You're getting
People wouldn't join this league if they thought there was a chance they would get killed.
You're getting dystopian. I'm just trying to make it more interesting.
Okay. Keep going.
That's all I'm saying. Well, I mean, that might be all I really have for football. I mean, so...
Okay.
Other futures?
No. You get one thing.
I'm done.
Podcast. You're done? Okay. Now it's my turn.
Okay.
I think in the future, there are going to be many more flavors of fudge. There won't just be a chocolate fudge. There's going to be fruit flavors. And it won't all be chocolate-based fudge either. They'll find new nougaty ingredients to kind of give it a consistency. I think this fudge is going to become so popular. The fudge is going to be so popular that it's going to replace money in our economy. And there's going to be a fudge-based economy in America, and of course in the rest of the world, because we'll
still be a superpower at this point?
We're the fudge leaders, I think. We'll still be a superpower, of course.
Okay.
Who makes fudge better than America? Name one country.
Well, Germany? Switzerland?
They're fudge novices.
Okay.
They're fudge novices.
Well, I think you're already getting a little glimpse into what you're going with there, because they have like strawberry flavored Tootsie Rolls, right? And that's essentially a fudge goodness.
Germany does?
No, in the U.S.
It's not fudge, though.
Tootsie Rolls are supposed to be a fudge candy, right?
It's not fudge.
It's based on that, though. So, I mean, what you're talking about is talking about like a permutation at some point.
I think that with fudge, you have...
Oh, he gets
the burrito. Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. With fudge, you have the possibility of a chocolate-based, like a chocolate cake-based type thing.
Yeah.
But it's got, it's more... it's obviously not, like, baked to the point. Because brownies aren't necessarily fudge, unless they're fudge brownies.
Yeah.
Fudge itself is like...
Do you guys know anything about fudge?
Do you know about fudge?
Yeah.
Come here.
We got a fudge spurt here.
Do you know how to make fudge?
No, come here. Explain to me how to make fudge.
Okay, well, you have to have butter and cream.
Okay.
And then, like, chocolate and shit.
Is there
and
cooking involved?
Yes. It's, like, all heated up in a mixture in the beginning. And then you put it into a pan and it cools and hardens.
So there's no baking involved for fudge?
Well, it's just like stove top, not baking.
Oh.
So if you wanted to make different flavors of fudge, could you do so without chocolate being involved?
Yeah, my mom has made oranges and cream fudge.
So you're saying your mom is...
from the future.
You think she's on the forefront of the future? You think she's maybe the Antichrist?
I know she makes a lot of flavors.
She makes a lot of different flavors of fudge. That's what you're saying.
So before I cut you off.
Yeah. I'm just less. So it's just sugar.
Could you put alcohol in the fudge?
It's very sugary.
Well, okay.
It's very heavy.
If chocolate's not fundamental to the basis of what is defined as fudge in terms of, we're talking about taxonomy basically here, then what is? You got sugar, you got cream.
What are you talking about?
I mean, what are the fundamental elements of fudge? If chocolate, apparently, if it can be strawberry fudge, then, and chocolate fudge, you take the chocolate, you take the strawberry away, what is the commonality? What's the common ancestry?
Sugar.
What's the lowest common denominator of fudge? What makes the nougat-y...
Is he a whole burrito just now?
Consistency.
I think... I don't know.
You're the fudge spurt. I thought you knew about this. What do you think the future of fudge is?
I don't know. What are you talking
about? I think the future of sweets is not good, to be honest. I think the diabetic situation is going to be crazy.
Well,
I was looking...
gets back to the Darwinism thing. It's going to kill all them off.
I know.
All those that can handle the sugar will survive to enjoy the new flavors of fudge.
You're talking about... This podcast is about future predictions. Here's a little irony here. A little ironical. I was looking back on my old my blog.
Yeah.
www.grandz.com/fuelpodcast.com was a blog starting in October 2004 by me, Ian Strope. And basically, there's one where I'm talking about having a high cholesterol level, a high HDL or LDL level.
Right.
LDL is the bad cholesterol, low density lipoproteins.
You don't want that.
No. And I started realizing that, you know, the way that health is going these days with children getting diabetes and whatnot so early, that there's a good chance that our population and our life expectancies is going to actually start to decline again.
So you think we've reached a peak, you think?
No. I think we've reached maybe a stasis point or a plateau, if you will.
Okay.
That's what everybody thinks, like, in their...
Blaine, come here.
What?
I want you to be part of this.
My two cents.
Inaugural. Come here. Mm-mm. I'm going to ask you a serious question. You have to answer it.
Blaine,
that's
two.
Right here.
No, you got to answer over here. This is the first of my important podcasts.
All right.
Blaine gets to be involved.
What's your important question? If
Blaine,
it's a ridiculous question.
No, it's not. Blaine, what happens in the future?
What do you mean, what happens in the future? I survive.
Are you the one that survives?
Yes.
What happens in the future? What do you think happens in the future?
What do you mean? In terms of what?
Just answer the question.
Are you going to end up with that chick from the weight working class?
No, that's not in my future.
Okay.
What like in the immediate future?
No,
or like the distant future?
You pick anything and you go with it.
I don't know. But I plan to be there.
You know about the future of technology and things. Where do things go?
Things are going to start getting bigger with technology again? Is it going to be like the opposite, where like the giant cell phone is going to be the sales status?
No.
It kind of did that already.
We're going to inhabit robot bodies.
You think we're going to inhabit robot bodies? Our souls? Or our entire bodies put inside?
It'll be like our brain, on a robot
body. So it'll be like an Adrian Barbeau bot?
Yes. Yes.
Or Sparkham's Prime?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, explain that. Elaborate.
I don't want to. It's simple.
How will it happen? And then Ian can help with the medical.
Yeah,
stuff.
What will be the result? What will be the result of the reproductive functions? How will that be relegated to some sort of a ministry?
I don't know,
the government will decide which genes.
We're
going to
devise a way like so that we're orgasming all the time. I'm sure about that.
Because hedonism is the most important thing in this future.
That creates a functional society. That takes out the trash.
Who cares about United States of hedonists.
Society or not.
Let me ask you something. How far in the future do you think we inhabit robot bodies?
Oh, that's... I don't know, but else to be alive.
Ian's made a prediction tonight. The football fields eventually will have peaks and valleys in them, and that there will be a triple zone where if you throw a touchdown or kick a field goal in that area.
Not about a field goal. It's about the guy getting the ball and running within that and staying within that limited range and not veering at all. So basically, the defense would be cake, but the guy would have to be tough, or he would have to just be able to.
And then my prediction—that's his. I'm cutting him off because it's not very interesting. My prediction was that there will be so many flavors of fudge eventually.
Oh, that's why.
That our economy will be.
He thought that was futuristic, and then our fudge spurt came in and basically
and said just, it's just happening now.
Dashed it all.
We're on the forefront,
and there is no forefront right now.
No, there is a future, and. She's seen this future of fudge. The fudge futures are strong. Forget pork bellies. Go into fudge futures.
Indeed.
And then you had some middling kind of...
What?
Non-elaborate suggestions about robot bodies.
Some sort of pulp novel.
You really haven't helped me here with what happens in the future.
Well, I don't know.
You're looking for answers, aren't you?
I want complete and... well thought out answers to my
before
questions.
Before robot bodies, we're gonna find a way to slower or stop the oxidation process.
Yeah.
Are you gonna stop cellular respiration? Basically, you're gonna kill life.
Huh? No,
that's what you have to do that.
Listen to you, man. This is good.
Have you read the new articles on the internet?
Ian, you obviously don't read Dig.
Yeah, I know.
Well, all I'm saying is that a biological organism in equilibrium. It's defined as death. That is to say that there needs to be a constant flux and change of things. Things need to be moving back. An osmotic potential needs to be created between a cell and the outside world in order for life to exist.
I don't know. We need some citations here.
Citations needed.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need some textbooks.
Textbooks?
Okay, part two of this podcast, after we decide what needs to happen in the future, or what is going to happen, because we have educated guesses to go with this, is to look back at now and decide what's wrong now. Ian, what's wrong?
You mean from the future?
Ian,
from
the what's future? Wrong now?
Well, I mean...
Pick something that's wrong now and go with it. What's wrong now, Ian?
Our economy.
Don't even belittle this.
Yeah.
Economy? Economy?
I think it's that people have gotten, honestly, I hate to sound like a tree-hugging left-winger here, but I think people have gotten a little too materialistic. They tie their sense of happiness into the not even the possession of things, but rather the acquisition of further things and the ability to continue doing that, such that it's not like you have
interesting,
a DVD
interesting.
And you enjoy
Blaine?
Watching it.
What's wrong now, Blaine?
Oh, consumerism.
Consumerism is wrong now?
I see.
Here's what's really wrong now.
I think Caitlin
has seen this future, but right now I only ever see one flavor of fudge. I've only ever seen one flavor of fudge, which is generally chocolate. You can get some vanilla thrown in there.
Are you question?
Okay.
Have you been into Old Town Coffee and Chocolate?
Oh, every day. I go there once a day at least. No, I have not been there.
Why?
Why would I go to Eureka? Oh, I've been there probably. I've been to Jacques. I've been to S-Jacks.
Alright, well, they got fudge there.
Yeah, they got fudge there. But it's mostly chocolate-based stuff. What I'm saying is, you throw out the chocolate, and you decide, you know, today I'm going to make lime-flavored fudge. Just lime. What's wrong with that? Why has no one done that?
Like key lime fudge?
Key lime fudge. It's bland.
Yeah.
Lime is the most... exotic of flavors, I think.
I do enjoy lime. I used the lime on Saturday night.
You use it on Saturday night? Or I don't know. I don't even want to ask.
I think my mom could make it.
If your mom can make lime fudge, I will.
Better to send us some.
I will kill her so it can't happen until the future. Christmas. Here's the thing. Right now, we got mostly chocolate-based fudge. I think what's wrong is that we don't have.
You don't even know that much fudge. You're not an authority on fudge. You had to get her help.
Listen. I feel like I'm in the middle of everything on Earth. I don't know that much, but I know a little bit about most things,
okay.
Right?
That's fair.
Right? That's fair. So, if I haven't heard about these magical flavors of fudge, they must not exist.
Right.
Or, at the very least, they're not in, like, popularity such that they, for all practical purposes, do exist. I mean, when something is so esoteric, then, you know, it might as well not exist. You could talk about, like, computer processing powers and things, or electric cars and whatnots, and magical pieces of technology that do exist in a prototype-like form, but are so expensive, they're so cost-prohibitive at this point, that for all practical purposes, they don't exist for the regular person. The middleman, if you will, such as Mr. Newkirk over here.
What'd you call me?
So middleman. Fudge is just not cost-effective.
Well, these multiple levels of fudge, yeah. These multiple varieties.
It's not worth it.
The ability to, if you will, South Park. Interchangeable parts of Ooh. Fudge.
Now what does it say?
So.
That's right. Now where's your
god?
Now? Where's your robot bodies now? Okay, still. So what we've decided tonight is that football's going to change because there's going to be hills and stuff in the field. Eventually everyone's going to have robot bodies. And that we're going to have... We're going to get rid of money eventually and trade in fudge.
Trade in sugary goodness.
And
milks and creams.
And that's a
flying
good start.
Cars, right?
That's a good start. No. Don't go to something else right now. We'll get to that eventually.
Flying cars?
With other guests. Have you figured out the email for it yet?
Oh yeah, it's I just made it. It's thefuture.podcast@gmail.com.
What is this podcast?
It's the future. It's called the Future Podcast.
Oh, God.
It's about the future.
This isn't gonna work.
It probably will.
Yeah, one of them's gonna work.
If we get farther than two episodes, I'll be really surprised. Episodes, podcasts.
You can call them episodes.
Okay,
they're what?
When I get an African-American guest on the show, I'll ask about flying cars, I think.
Okay.
Because they'll best know how to steal them.